Okay, it's important for us to know how to think and behave as a Muslim. And for those of you who are new to Islam, when you took your Shahada, your life starts anew. And that means in more ways than one. A lot of things that you've learned as a child and throughout your adult years, you have to get rid of. You're going to have to start all over again. You're going to have to learn how to eat all over again, how to bathe all over again, how to speak all over again, and how to think all over again. And it's important that you are aware of what the Islamic personality should consist of. And the first thing that you need to be aware of as a Muslim is that a Muslim behavior is based on purity and sincerity of intentions. Okay? We have to understand that actions are by intentions. And there is for every person only that in which he intended. And intentions lie inside your heart. Allah can look inside the hearts of each and every one of us, and he knows if we are sincere in what we're doing or not. And the Muslim must be sincere in whatever he does. We have to be sincere in how we worship Allah. We have to be sincere in how we fast. And we have to be sincere in our dealings with each other. So the first thing you need to understand as a believing Muslim is that your actions are based on intentions. And your intentions should be sincere and pure. You need to understand that purity and sincerity in intentions are the pillars of actions. And through purity of intention, your heart becomes upright. And through this, the person comes to know the right way in his religion. So thus, he does everything in a proper manner. So that's why purity is important. Purity makes you pray the way you're supposed to pray. It makes you fast the way you're supposed to fast. Okay? Through purity of intention alone will you know the obligations upon you and the rights due to you. And through purity of intentions, you will behave justly in all of your affairs. And you will give everything its due right. And you will not go beyond the boundaries. In other words, you won't innovate or fall short of your mark. So we have to understand, guys, that our actions are based on our intentions. And our intentions should be pure and sincere. So that's the first characteristic of the Islamic personality that we need to adapt for ourselves. The second characteristic that we need to adapt is something that I spoke about the other day. Distinctiveness. Being distinctive. As believing Muslims, we are supposed to be distinct. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I have been sent before the hour, so that Allah alone should be worshipped without any partner for him. And my provision has been placed beneath the shade of my spear. And humiliation have been placed upon those who disobey my orders. And whoever imitates a people, then he is one of them." And this is something we all need to understand as Muslims striving to become believers. We do not imitate other people. Because if you imitate other people, you are like them. We are supposed to be distinct. Distinct from the kuffar. That's why our holy day of the week is Friday, not Saturday. Not Sunday, because we're distinct. That's why we can fast any day of the week except Friday, unless we fast the day before or after, because we are distinct. We do not go around imitating people. And this is why we as Muslims don't go around putting pamphlets on the doors, knocking on doors, inviting people to Islam. We're not Jehovah Witnesses. We are distinct. We don't imitate them. We don't go out in the streets behaving like the Christians and the Jews. The Muslim has a distinct personality with its own special nature and its own particular outlook and manner. The Muslim personality is distinct in its appearance, its nature, and its belief. It is also distinct in its orientation, in its direction of prayer, and in all its affairs. By being distinct as Muslims, we preserve our Islam and our call in a clear and pure form, free from any unadulteration or mistakes. So we have to understand, guys, all of us here, we have to be distinct. You don't imitate the kafir. They should be imitating you, trying to be like you. Not you trying to be like them. We don't celebrate their holidays. We don't take part in their culture and their traditions because we are distinct from them. And you have to understand, guys, while being distinct from the kuffar, this also means that we do not depart from being just and justly balanced. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, love the one whom you love to a certain degree, which means moderately, because perhaps one day he will be someone for whom you have hatred. And hate the one for whom you have hatred to a certain degree, because perhaps one day he will be someone you should love. This is a very deep hadith. And we can reflect to the stories of the Sahaba to understand the essence or the meaning of this hadith. If you reflect to the beginning of Islam, when the Muslims were persecuted for practicing their religion, and the Muslims had to flee from Mecca to Medina. They were being persecuted by their own family members, their uncles, their fathers, their aunts, their mothers, their brothers, their sisters. They were being oppressed by their own kin and kindred. So that's what's meant by this may be of the person that you love them moderately. Because one day that person may become your enemy. And I'll give you an even more distinct example. During the Battle of Badr, and all of you here who attend the Stories of the Caliphate class should be to remember this. During the Battle of Badr, Abu Bakr's son, who was not Muslim then, was on the side of the Quraysh and fought against the Muslims. Before the battle began, he stood up and he said, who dares to challenge me? Now, this was his own son. Abu Bakr stood up and said, I dare to challenge you and I will take your life, you kafir. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped him and said, no, Abu Bakr, send someone else. But this shows the love that Abu Bakr had for Allah. That was his own son. Yet he was prepared to fight his own son to the death for the sake of Allah. Even though he loved his son, because that love was moderate. And this is a problem that many Muslims have today. We don't know how to be moderate in our love. We don't know how to be justly balanced. We either love our children too much, we love our husbands too much, or we don't love them enough. We have to learn. We have to learn how to seek the middle course, guys, in our love and be justly balanced, because you never know. That person you love, that child you gave birth to, may do something that may question your love for Allah. And that person that you hated, that girl you went to school with who you couldn't stand because she used to tease you. She teased you because you were a Muslim and you covered up. She may one day become Muslim too. And you will then have to give her her rights. So we have to be moderate in our love and our hate, guys, for people. That's the essence of that hadith. The Muslim is justly balanced in his love and his hatred. He is just both when giving and in when receiving. His being justly balanced is one of the signs of his religion. If a person is justly balanced, then you know, inshallah, he is a good Muslim. Now remember, the people talked about Umar, radiallahu anhu. We spent this past week talking about Umar in the beginning of his caliphate. One of the main reasons why the people objected to him at first was because they felt he was too harsh. Okay? And then we had some people who couldn't understand how he could be friends with a man who was so tenderhearted like Abu Bakr. And then even further, how could he be so close to the Prophet who was so kind and sweet? So Umar explained to them, we complimented each other. Whereas Abu Bakr was overly sensitive, whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was busy trying to please, he said, I was harsh. All three of these ingredients balanced out. We balanced each other out. We were a threesome. And we were equally balanced because of how we were. Okay? And this is how the Muslim must be. We must learn, guys, to be equally balanced. Because a person who is justly balanced is a person who has knowledge of his religion and understanding of it. And this is the people you meet who are the good Muslims. Okay? We should not go beyond the limits. You don't want to be too harsh, and you don't want to be too nice, which is what I've been preaching here at the website all week, when my moderators were all tripping. Okay? We have to be equally balanced. You don't want to be too mean and threaten to mute everybody who joins the website, including Sheikh Atlee's daughter. And you don't want to be too nice where your feelings get hurt if somebody corrects you. We have to be justly balanced, guys. This is goals for myself as well as you. We have to seek the middle course. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, thus we have made you a justly balanced nation, that you be witness over mankind, and the messenger be a witness over you. So we have to understand, guys, that we got to be just, and being justly balanced is not an easy thing to do. This is a lifetime struggle to remain equally just, justly balanced. This is not something that's easy to do. Instead, we have to make dua, asking Allah to help us to maintain ourselves and be justly balanced. In order to be justly balanced, it requires a few things. The person might ask, well, how do we do this? I'm a harsh person. How can I balance myself out? Or I'm a sensitive person. My feelings get hurt easily. How can I balance myself out? Well, it requires the following. Number one, we have to strive against our desires. Once a man asked Abdullah ibn Elzaf, he said, which of the believers is best in his Islam? And he said, the one from whose tongue and hand the Muslims are safe. The man then asked, then what is the best jihad? And he replied, he who strives against his own self and desires for Allah. He then asked, then which of those who migrate is best? Okay, so we have to understand, guys, that striving against one's own self is one of the highest and most valuable means of increasing our iman. And it brings us closer to Allah. We have to fight against our own desires. Because remember, guys, each and every one of us has a jinn assigned to us. And that jinn's job is to take you away from the right path. His job is to tempt you to go to hell. We have to learn how to fight against him. Fight against the desires that plague us. Our urge to jump on people. Our urge to be too sensitive. You have to fight against that. And the more that you can fight against that, and the more equally balanced you become, the closer you become to Allah. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, as for those who strive hard in our cause, we will surely guide them to our path, which is Allah's religion. So a Muslim striving against his own self and his own desires causes his spirit to rise higher and his iman to increase and his soul to become purified. So we have to learn, guys, how to fight against our desires. So for those people who ask, how do I overcome my super sensitivity? Or how do I overcome my harshness? You strive against it. You fight against it. It's just that simple. And whenever the Muslim strives to fight against his own desires, he will then attain other characteristics such as gentleness. Gentleness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, Allah is gentle, and Allah loves gentleness, and He gives due to gentleness that which He does not give to harshness. So we have to understand, guys, as we strive against our own desires, that through gentleness do hearts become united in friendship and love. Like all the fighting that was going on here this past couple of weeks here. Each one of my moderators had their own different story. Everybody had their own story. Their own little thing. But if we become gentle with each other, only through that do our hearts unite. We become closer, better friends. And as we become closer and better and get along more, then the goodwill of the website can spread out. How can we teach anything here if we're fighting with each other? If we're getting hurt by this person hurt my feelings. No, she hurt mine. No, he did this. Ishtiak did that. I mean, we got to get over it. How can we get the message of Islam out if we're sitting here being harsh and fighting with each other? We have to be gentle because only through that can we unite together in friendship and then the goodwill of Islam be put out from this website. We have to also understand that gentleness leads to the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no believing servant except that he has a sin which he commits from time to time, or a sin in which he persists in and does not abandon until he leaves this world, Indeed, the believer was created as one who is frequently tried and tested, and who often repents then forgets. When he is admonished, he accepts the admonition. Now, this is a beautiful hadith. This hadith tells us how we should be, guys, as believers. All of us commit sins. Nobody here is perfect because we're all human. And Allah gave us this thing called free will. We're not angels. We have this thing called free will, the ability to choose between right or wrong. But oftentimes we choose that which is wrong because we end up giving in to our desires. But even if you commit a sin, the believing Muslim recognizes his sin, and then he goes to Allah and he repents. He doesn't sit there and continue to commit that sin. He repents for it. And also, the believer was created to be tried and tested. Remember, we talked about how if Allah loves you, what does he do? He sends calamities to you. He sends sickness to you. He sends all type of calamities to you as a way of expiating your sins, and also as a way of testing you to see if you truly believe in him. The believer was created to be tested over and over and over again to see if he truly loves Allah. So that's why all of us will be tested. A lot of people ask the question who are new to Islam. I get a lot of emails, and this is one of the most infamous questions I get. They'll say something like, "Dear Sister Layla, why is it that ever since I became a Muslim, it seems like my life has been crazy? I was diagnosed with cancer. It went away though. My husband left me. One of my kids apostated. But then the other girl who became Muslim with me, her life has been one big happy playground. She got a new husband, a new baby, a new car, a new house. She has no problems in her life. But I done lost one of my kids. I almost lost my health. I lost my man. I lost my job. Why is this, Sister Layla? Why is Allah punishing me?" Now, this is a bad attitude to take, because this is not punishment. Allah must truly love you, because he is testing you through all those things you care about the most. But for your girlfriend, Allah must not love her at all. Her life seems happy and seems perfect in this world. But on the day of judgment, she will have to stand before Allah, and she's going to be held accountable for all her minor sins. Allah has tested you with sickness to remove your minor sins. So that way, when you come before Allah, you will stand before him free and only have to be held accountable for your major sins. There's another sister here at the website, two of them, diagnosed with cancer. Both of them considered terminally ill. One sister writes me all the time, and I give her words of encouragement. "Why is Allah doing this to me?" It's simple. Allah must really love you. He done diagnosed you with cancer, a terminal disease, and then you're sick all the time because he's forgiven you for all your minor sins. So that way, when you do stand before Allah on a day of judgment, you only have to answer to him for the major sins you did. You don't have to answer to him about those minor things because he done forgave you for it. That's the way the believer looks at life, guys. The believer looks at life like that, that we were put here to be tested over and over again. If you are a person who has no hardships in your life, you need to check your soul. You need to ask yourself, why come Allah ain't punishing you none? Why come Allah ain't sent you no test? What have you done to make Allah not look at you? That's what you need to ask yourself. And for those who are being tested, you need to remain patient and understand that Allah must truly love you, because He is giving you the chance. He is giving you the chance to be expiated for all your major sins. So your minor sins. So you stand before Him only held accountable for your major. Okay? We have to also understand, guys, once we recognize this truth that we as believers were put here to be tested, once you recognize that truth, then you can appreciate the next thing, which is responsibility. The next characteristic of the Islamic personality, responsibility. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, each of you is a guardian, and each of you is responsible for those whom you are in charge of. The ruler is a guardian, and he is responsible for his subjects. A man is a guardian of his family, and he is responsible for those under his care. And a woman is a guardian of her husband's home, and she's responsible for her husband's home, his children's home. And a servant is a guardian of his master's wealth, and he is responsible for that which is entrusted to him. So each of you is a guardian and responsible for what he is entrusted with. If everyone from this ummah knew his own position and his own worth and realized the responsibility upon him and did not seek to overstep it or to take on responsibilities of others, and if he carried out his obligations, then that would be a comprehensive and universal good and a very great treasure through which safety and security will become widespread. And this is a problem with Muslims today. We don't know what our responsibilities are. We don't know what our roles are. We got Muslim women who don't know what it means to be a Muslim woman. We got Muslim women who don't know what their roles are as a wife or a mother. We got Muslim men who don't know what their role is as a husband or a father. We need to get back to the basics of Islam, guys, and understand what our duties and our responsibilities are. And if we focused on what those responsibilities were, then we wouldn't have the messed up society that we have now. We wouldn't have the messed up Muslims that we have walking around today who don't even know what they can and can't do, don't even know what their responsibilities are. So thus, these are just a few of the many 40 other characteristics of the Islamic personality. You want to remember, first of all, that we must be sincere in our intentions. You want to remember, secondly, that we must be distinct. You have to stand out from the kuffar. We don't imitate them. We don't imitate their ways. We are distinct from them, different from them, unique, separate, and better. Then you want to also understand that you're supposed to be justly balanced. And you want to then understand that you have to strive against your own desires. And we have to remember to be gentle in our dealings with each other. We have to remember to return back to the truth, which is that the believers were put here to be tested. That's why we're here. We're here to worship Allah and be tested. And then we need to be aware of our responsibilities as a Muslim woman or a Muslim man. So I want to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we will continue with the next set of Islamic characteristics that we all need to be aware of and try to implement into our behavior. If you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.